All right, this next question relates mostly to James and Craig, but Mayor, you'll have an opportunity to address this as well. If elected, would either of you make major changes to departmental organizations or staffing within the city? And Mayor, if you're reelected, are you going to keep the staffing and departments as is? Let's start with James.
Hey, hats off to Mayor Watts for the fact that I think he's done a pretty good job at hiring department heads. As much as I've worked with them, I think that there's a pretty good crew. Concern I have is those that are above that tier, okay? Now, the department heads, you know, they're the head of their departments, but I'm worried about that tier below those. There's a lot of employees that say, we don't have a chance to speak up. This is a closed shop with ideas or, you know, they don't give us a chance to share anything. We need a city hall that is made also for the employees as well as you, the people. We need to be able to promote innovative things. It's only when I was able to take CDBG and turn it into a three-quarter time position that I was able to say, hey, let me do neighborhood meetings. Hey, let me do neighborhood councils. Hey, let me do communication initiatives. Look at what I've been able to do there. I'd like to see an atmosphere where more of the employees can do that. Department heads, good. Let's do more with the employees.
To answer that, number one has been communication with the administration to the employees. We have a monthly department meeting. Supervisors, managers, and department heads, we come on a monthly basis, bring all concerns, and we have a sit-down meeting. Sometimes it lasts an hour and a half, 2 hours. In a normal month that I'm running, I do at least 15 to 20 service awards. What they are is to recognize those that have 5 years or more of service to the city. When I go, we give the service award out to recognize the employee. But also, I ask the pertinent question, is there anything that you as employees would like to add to where we're going or what we could do to improve? Now, a lot would say they don't say anything. They do. They're very verbal, and I think there's really good communication between the employees of the city of Logan with the administration, and I will not change my administration. I've never said I. It's always been we. The administration have accomplished a lot. Thank you.
For me, the question's premature. I wouldn't make that kind of a decision without knowing more about it. But let me just indicate, go back to the organization chart. Of the nine top leaders, five of those are actually carryovers from previous administration. As I thought about why I wanted to run, it's because they do have a top-level administrative staff. That's point one. Point number two is, if I'm elected mayor, within the first 4 months, I'll meet with every single employee at their place of work and give them a chance to talk to me individually. And the third point, and this one might be a little bit more controversial, as you look at this organization chart, what you see is 53 people. And I looked at it very, very closely. And if you look at the 53 people, you find out of the 53, there are 50 men and 3 women. I've never been an ardent proponent of affirmative action. But on the other hand, I do recognize that talent and capability and energy are not gender specific. And I have to wonder a little bit how you can have an organization with 50 out of 53 who are men.
Okay, things are going well. Again, thanks for being here tonight, folks. Is it too hot in here? There's nothing we can do. So, all right.
As mayor, I will cool down this city when you want it cooler.
Oh, sorry. Okay, another toss-up question. Just take 30 seconds to respond. No debate necessary. Do you use social media? Why or why not? Mr. Peterson.
I have not. I've been forced to use it more as a consequence of running for mayor. And to be honest, I do it reluctantly.
Okay, Mr. Watts? No. Like Craig, website important to get information out. Twitter, Facebook. My secretary, Teresa, we try to keep attached to some of them, mostly email. I'm not even a big emailer. And someone will say, well, gee, how do you communicate? I do it by phone, direct phone call, and I get off my butt, out of my office, and I go out and look at the problem. You know, you're not going to be able to resolve the thing on the phone. Tell me what it is. I'm going to meet you up at the problem. Let's look it over. I'll bring a department head if I need. We'll get to the bottom of it, see if we can get a resolve. That's the way I operate. Thank you.
If you want to see baby pictures, friend me on Facebook under James Olson. If you want to learn about Better Logan, the organization, go to Facebook or betterlogan.org. Okay? If you want to learn about my campaign, go to Facebook, picture a Better Logan, James Olson, some great thing about that. Or go to betterlogan.com. All of them say great things about me. Listen, social media, I think, is something you don't hang your hat on entirely. However, the way that the world's evolving is a city, we need to make sure that we're tuned into that. And one of the things I've done, and I hope you'll all check it out, is Inbox Logan is accessible off the city's website. And it's an email subscription service, so you can subscribe to information about services that you're most interested in.
All right. Although I have seen quite a few tweets from Mayor Watts. I don't know where they're coming from.
We're in a campaign, you know.
Exactly. All right. This next question is sort of a compilation of a couple things we've been hearing. A lot of residents have questions about the types of businesses that are setting up in Logan and the quality of jobs that are available in this town. So the question is, Logan has seen a lot of growth in retail and dining establishments in recent years. Do you think attracting high-tech and high-paying industries is just as important for Logan, and do you have a plan to do so? Let's start with Mayor Watts.
Well, absolutely. And what is happening, again, I mentioned the RDA and this redevelopment area. What happens is it's a tax incentive to help businesses. Thermo Fisher was looking at outsourcing. They were moving their business somewhere else. We remember it as Hyclone Labs. Now they're talking about the sterile bags that are on the bigger building, the two-story building. We incentivize that because what happened, it used to be the old butter, tractor, and implement. The city of Logan owned the property. What we did through the RDA exchange is we brought that property forward so they could build on it. That's one. The other one is Schreiber Cheese. Huge what they've done. That's a 24/7 operation. They've a third increased the employee base of Schreiber's. And what we did with that was an EDA, which is economic development help. And that's what businesses are looking at. They want the cities to step up because they're comparing us with other individuals that if we're not going to do it, they'll go somewhere else. Thank you.
Let's talk about Raymond, Alberta again. Okay. When I was there, I was able to work in economic development a lot, and it's sort of been an interest of mine. It just sort of goes along with the fact that I've really always been interested in marketing and branding, and that's sort of what I've done for a living in the past, even before my city administration stuff. One of the things I learned is a basic fundamental thing for economic development for cities is to have a site selector plan. This is a document that is accessible on a website or, hey, email it to me, fax it to me, whatever. And it says just basic information like what's our access to water, what's our access to, what's our population, what's the demographics of the area. Going and talking to our economic development office, they do a good job, but they don't have a basic fundamental site selector plan. And that's sort of frustrating to me. There's a lot of people, they don't go knocking on our door and say, hey, can I get all this information? Site selectors, they go and look online, they try to find that information, places that they think might be good, and we don't even have that fundamental thing. How can we get those jobs and attract those businesses when we don't have the information there for them? We need it.
I come back to the point that we have to be realistic about what government can actually do. Government's not going to make the fundamental decision. What government can do is make it easier for business to be here and to provide information. So we need to work very closely with the chamber, with business organizations to provide good information to induce people to come. But the other thing is we have to make sure that government's not an impediment. And my view and what I hear from many, many people is the government, Logan City government, is an impediment, that we're not very business friendly. I've heard time and time again people telling me that as businesses come to Logan City for help, that basically they're treated as if they're a necessary evil. I went to a place as part of my campaign to make a purchase, and there was a fellow who had built a building there. And I looked over, and his business license was displayed upside down. I said, is that the way that's supposed to be? And he said, I've displayed it upside down for 6 years as a protest against the red tape that I was forced to go through in order to build this building. We need to treat businesses as a resource, and we need to be realistic, fair, but we need to make sure that we don't impose impediments on business coming to Logan.
Thank you for that perspective, candidates. Okay, this next question is from the audience tonight. Recently, the issue of merging Logan and Cache County school districts was brought up. If mayor, would you like to see that happen? Why or why not? James.
You know what? I could say absolutely, or I could say no way, and I'd probably be wrong, and that'd be rotten. You know, I find a lot of the time when you get a bigger organization, you're able to attract even better employees, better group of people to work there. Would that happen with Cash and Logan School Logistics? I've asked both of them for their sales pitch on why or why not. You know what? Jury's out with me. That'd be more studying, so I don't want to answer that right now and like that. But it is something I look at as a parent, as someone that has kids going to school here. What's going to be in the best interest of the school kids? If you talk to the school districts, no. If you talk to others, they think it's a pretty good idea. I can see both sides, but I'm just like you guys. I'm just watching and interested in what might be a good solution.
There's some substantial efficiencies to gain. One would be administrative efficiencies, as we'd be able to cut top-level positions. There's also some transportation opportunities. I have a daughter. She's here tonight. And her children would be forced to go from North Logan to Nibley under one of the proposals, drive basically past Logan High. That really doesn't make a lot of sense. But once again, we need to be realistic. And I come from the county. I hear that, at least I work with the county. I hear the county's perspective. And to be very, very candid, very, very realistic, the county's perception is, what's in it for us that our system would be downgraded if we had a merger? Rightly or wrongly, that's the first political issue that we'd have to deal with, is that perception.
But don't you think that that perception is both county and city? And what I would hope, and I know I was quoted inappropriately, they asked me, and I said, I really agree that this is what I agree upon. I think both the Cache County and Logan City school boards need to get together. Gee, we're talking $200 million, 55 for Logan, 150 in that range, and it'll be on the ballot at least for the effort of the monies and the logistics that the both of them, both groups, sit down and really hammer out maybe some issues that maybe could be resolved. And that's the way I answered it before, and I stand on that. It'd be nice to see him talk.
Okay, thank you. The next question was submitted by a Herald Journal, rather a UPR listener. Many people in the greater Logan area commute to the Wasatch Front for work every day. Do you support a development plan to connect Logan's transit system with the Utah Transit Authority's network? Mr. Peterson?
The way that I think about issues like this is the way that I've been trained, and that's looking at benefit-cost analysis, and one would have to look at the benefits versus the costs. Again, I think the idea is a great idea. It'd be a tremendous benefit to the citizens of Logan and Cache County. I'm pretty certain at this point that if anyone did any type of a benefit-cost analysis, that it wouldn't pass the test. The demand here is simply not great enough. However, having said that, it may be possible to do that with bus service. Certainly a rail service wouldn't be cost-effective, but a bus service might be. But again, the way that you look at this is you take a good hard look at the facts, you look at the benefits and the costs, and you don't use that as the sole basis for decision-making, because dollars aren't everything. They don't mean everything. But you start with that point, and then you determine whether or not there are other factors that you would consider that are important enough that maybe you'd be swayed to move beyond just the dollars that are involved.
You know, Todd Bueller, that runs the Cache Valley Transit, I think a real important thing that needs to be mentioned, it used to be two, was the Cache Valley Transit and the Logan Transit. The city of Logan administration and the council decided best to consolidate, to save on administration and let Todd run it as one group. The thing that is happening, and I'm still excited about what they're doing with the buses, they go up to Preston. And there are individuals that work at the city of Logan, and they're coming as far as Montpelier, they come to Preston, and then they bus to Logan. In the future, I could see going to Brigham, but I think we need not get ahead of ourselves. I know in the future, as it demands, that we'll see a track getting closer to Brigham. I know that's the long term. It's going to be a while in coming, but they'll do that by evaluating the amount of ridership to make it so that it makes sense. And buses will continue to be evaluated by Cache Valley Transit to do the best for the largest number of people. Thank you.
You know, Thermo Fisher, I have some friends there, and they talked about not long ago they put together a carpool program and incentivized people to ride to work together. And you know what? The government didn't have one thing to do with that, and I think that's awesome. A business that figures out a way how to make something work. You know, not everyone works in the same place at the same time, you know, along the Wasatch Front. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have some sort of system where people kind of take it upon themselves as a citizen initiative to try to deal with carpooling and things like that. That's what Better Logan's been all about. Citizens getting together and coming up with solutions to things. Yeah, in time will we need to have some sort of more extensive rail system or, you know, transit system there? Yeah, it might happen in time. But right now, I just love citizen power, whether it's from Thermo Fisher or from other people, about finding solutions to problems like these and getting down the road together.
Thank you. The next question comes from an audience member. They write, how would you address the low wages for our police department and fire departments? Craig?
That's an interesting question. I want to answer that from a perspective of somebody who is in the county. We've often thought that as you think about consolidation, why don't we consolidate our fire departments and our police departments? And the reason that we can't do that is because the county employees are paid so much less. The people in the sheriff's office and the people in the county fire department so much less. That to bring them up to par with Logan City's employees simply would not be possible. It'd have a huge additional expense. And so I think as you talk about low wages, I think you have to consider that in a perspective. And it's not just the perspective of looking at police and fire. That's across the board. We simply don't have high wages in Logan, Utah. And wages have to be considered not in isolation, not as an absolute amount, but they have to be considered relative to other wages in the valley and relative to cost of living in the valley. The reality is that, as the mayor's indicated, we have limited resources. And to provide more service, we have to have more taxes. And so you balance the additional burden that you put on the taxpayers versus the additional wages that you pay employees. And that's a very delicate question to answer.
You know, in that discussion, are we paying employees what they deserve? No. Would I like to pay him more? Yes. How do I go about even with this 3% raise I gave him this year? We did it internally again with health with our health programs and health insurance. We went back and looked at the numbers, and we used to be with one select health group, and we left and went to another because the price was better. We had to do that. I immediately, 4 years ago, went to a $5,000 deductible. Employees didn't like that. But why did I do that? It's called job security. Without going that direction, I would be looking back at the employee base, employees that work hard every day and have to make a tough decision for those that are doing the job and say, I'm sorry, but I got to let you go. Got to lay you off. And other cities have done that. And my administration, we've done hard work. The council's been on board. We haven't had, we've had good cooperation back and forth with administration and council. And we've done some really good financial moves to keep moving ahead to try to help our employees to offset the hard work with more money in their wallets. Thank you.
Hey, who in the crowd would like to make more money? You know, wouldn't we all? You know, and so, you know, wouldn't it be great to be able to pay everyone what they're worth? Well, what are people worth? Is it compared to other cities? Is it compared to how hard they're out there working? I don't know. It'd be great if we were able to pay more resources. You got to take a look at it. You know, I've had people suggest to me that maybe if fewer, bigger, better. We have fewer officers and we're able to pay those that we keep the creme de la creme. We were able to pay them a little bit more. And so we don't have quite that turnover because we have a pretty large department. Craig talked about how you can't bring the two departments together. Well, come on, there's got to be something more we can do. Like, how many cops do we need on the street at a given time? Yeah, we're a safe community, but we have Sheriff's Department, USU, we've got Highway Patrol, we've got Logan Police. I have a hard time believing that we can't bring it together a little bit more. We could bring down some costs, maybe increase some wages.
Okay, thank you. The next question was submitted here tonight. This person asks, the public was asked recently to comment on the one-way couplet plan for the Main Street corridor after the city spent six figures on a feasibility study. When should the public get involved? How will you encourage our input? Mayor Watts.
Well, you know, there's a short-term discussion and a long-term. And when you start talking about the one-way couplets, when you look at the dollar amounts, we all don't know what the population, we have what the projected amounts as far as population increase, and with population brings more traffic and congestion. Main Street is a worry when you get back to safety, and that's number one, and I've said that before in the other debate. Safety is number one for the mayor of any city, and we don't want gridlock on Main Street. We're getting close to it at times when you're stuck in the intersection, and you can't go anywhere, and you can't go lateral because the light's red and you're still in the intersection. That's gridlock. You have an emergency, you can't get apparatus through the intersection because you can't get through it. What needs to happen in the future when you look at Second East, which is now, and some say you wasted money, you're going to do one-way couplets. One-way couplets down the road are $15, $20, $25, $30 million discussions that will come down the road when traffic warrants one-way couplets. Thank you.
This is true of a number of issues in Logan City, but we're addressing problems too late. And we've got a serious problem of congestion on Main Street, but it's an issue that should have been addressed a number of years ago. So now we're seeing the consequences, and our options are pretty limited. The one-way couplets work effectively in some communities, but they have serious impacts. They're difficult for people who live on those streets. I'm particularly concerned about the impact that they might have to businesses on Main Street. Because many of our Main Street businesses depend on kind of drive-in or walk-in traffic. And if it's made more difficult for people to stop in front of a business, then those businesses are going to suffer. And I think people are well aware that our Main Street businesses aren't thriving anyway. And so as we look at these one-way couplets, we have to look at their impact. And the studies I've seen suggest that they could have a fairly significant impact, but they'll also have some impact on business. And once again, it comes to these balancing questions of how much do we improve our traffic flow and what kind of impacts do we have on business. But there aren't many options. We can't widen our streets very effectively. The one-way couplets may well be the best of a bad set of options.
One of the things that I've sort of always wished is that we had more participation at the neighborhood meetings. And so the mayor would be able to hear people's discussions about traffic. So Craig, a prospective mayor, would be able to hear more people's discussion on traffic and people's concerns. I've been there, and I've talked to people, and I've heard what they're concerned about. They're concerned about the integrity of their neighborhoods and whether they're going to be preserved and whether that's going to be the right solution. I've also heard from a big number of the people, they said, we want to be involved from the beginning. I've also heard from another group of the people that said, I kind of want an idea of what's going on, and then I want to get involved at the end. For that reason, I created the Inbox Logan email subscription service that people can sign up to find out information about different projects, and they can receive email notifications so they know when they can connect. Not everyone reads the Herald Journal. Okay, they do. But and find out when these open houses are. They don't always hear from when different open houses are. They need this ongoing communication from the city. This is a great way to do it.
Okay. This next question comes from Tim. And this is actually, according to the Herald Journal, a pretty popular question every year. Given that the Declaration of Independence was signed on the 4th of July and that the federal holiday is celebrated on the 4th of July, would you as mayor take steps to ensure that Logan celebrates it on the 4th of July? James Olson, can you start, please?
Yeah, start off with the Canadian, right? No. Hey, listen, 4th of July, I'm right there. You know, for a guy that's only lived permanently in the United States, I've lived back and forth on and off throughout my whole life. You know, I've lived here for 5 years, and this is a country that I love, and it needs specific attention. It needs us to have the opportunity to celebrate. Do I think that we need ABBA? No. But I do think that we need a celebration, and I think unless there's some reason that the stars cannot align and we cannot blow off some fireworks and whoop it up on July 4th, we need to be doing it on July 4th. Got it? Done.
That wouldn't be my very first priority if I were elected. There's some other things that I'd be more concerned about. But let me talk about not the date, but the event itself. Logan City puts on a great celebration around the 4th of July, but it's changed over time. It used to be an event that families could come to, they could bring their kids, they could have a great time, and the cost was not excessive. We've changed that. I think we have priced families out of the market, and my preference would be, regardless of when we do it, that we make it family friendly. And I was also, and I realized this wasn't the mayor's fault, it was the university that probably did this. I thought the decision to prohibit people from sitting outside the stadium on their blankets was a terrible decision. You know, that's a big part of our celebration. And there are people that want to do that. They want to sit in the cool. They want to be there whenever they want to. And that really is a wonderful experience. And I hope that we preserve that forever, that people don't just have to go in and pay $20 to celebrate, that they can sit out on a blanket and they can enjoy it with their families at their leisure.
You know, when you celebrate the 4th, and it's really the heart and soul of America, when you see all that tries to transpire when you're there in the stadium, and I'm an advocate for, gee, please buy the ticket and come in, because it's all generated by the ticket sales. Craig Jessup, I've been working with him 3 years now. We've been trying to upgrade it, make it better, bring more scouts in. The festival choir, all of those efforts have been brought in to improve what was just local talent, which was great. And we probably will go back to that. I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers yet, but it was to raise the bar. That's really what it was. We changed. Everybody makes mistakes. I talked with Stan Ulbrich. He says, are you getting phone calls? Yes. What should we do? Put them back on the grass. But the thing we did notice is that those individuals that they live when they left the stadium, left the perimeters around the stadium, they picked up their blankets and they also picked up their trash. So there was an improvement with that being brought forward in the paper. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We're wrapping up here tonight. Before we give the floor back to our candidates for their closing statement, we're going to ask three questions related to air quality and traffic congestion. We got a lot of different perspectives on this, so we've done our best to consolidate the questions and represent a lot of different ideas here. So you'll take 60 seconds to answer these, gentlemen. The first question is, what is your view of Logan's air quality problem, and what do you think is the best solution? Let's start with Mr. Peterson.
Yeah, I've worked on this for probably 8 years as a member of the State Air Quality Board. We have really two options. We can cut the vehicle miles traveled, or we can reduce the emissions per mile. Third thing I guess we could do would be to change the weather, and that's overwhelmingly the dominant factor that determines our air quality, but that's beyond our control. I have some hope. Actually, as our automobile fleet gets newer, it becomes more efficient. And the federal government, like them or hate them, actually is proposing what they call Tier 3 air quality standards. If they're adopted, they'll reduce emissions from automobiles by 90%. That would take a while to have an impact, but ultimately it would have a significant impact on our air quality. In the short term, as mayor, what you can do is limit it. We could limit driving to city vehicles during inversions. We could convert city vehicles to be cleaner, and we could engage in educational programs and cooperative programs with businesses. But it's a very difficult problem, and we're actually facing another one. If you see the little kind of amber man in the newspaper, we're approaching exceeding the ozone standards in the summer, so we may have two problems to deal with.
Folks, I've been campaigning really heavily on the idea that I'm going to rip down part of the mountain there and build a Costco and a Target right there. And if you vote for me for mayor. And that will increase the flow of air going through, and we won't have quite the same problem we do. Well, guess what? That'd be the only empty promise I'm going to make you. The reality is the air quality, it's a miserable thing that we deal with, partly because of weather. We can do some things as far as cut down on traffic. An interesting thing that I learned from where I grew up is Vancouver is sort of a landlocked city. It's a miserable city to get into. And so if you want to drive to Vancouver, you're going to sit in traffic. It's going to be a miserable experience. So much so that you'll say, oh, bag it, I'm going to go take the bus. Or I'm going to carpool. Or I'm going to do whatever. As we make our city more accessible for regional traffic to come through our neighborhoods and like that, it becomes far more appealing to continue to take our vehicles when in fact we should be taking a look at what we can do individually, and that's, I think, find alternative modes of transportation or to buddy up when we're out there driving. Let's do that, okay?
My personal view, not the administration's, my personal as I watch this emissions testing that's moving forward and been approved, I'm not for emissions testing. Reason is for the individuals that I've chatted with, I understand the reasons. I understand because of the federal government and some of the mandates and some of the penalties that we moved a direction, and that wasn't an easy decision for the county council. But the long and short of that is I don't think there's been a huge improvement. I was impressed with where the Air Quality Board went a few years ago, and we had $1.50 that was put on the registration, and that $1.50 was to go for education. And I said the other night, and I'll say it again, it's all of us. Look in the mirror. Where's the problem? Each and every one of us is the problem. We've got to start riding with threes and fours. The kids are going to have to leave a car park. The mother's going to have to drop them off somewhere. We could all do better. I-15 is deplorable when you look at how many cars are on I-15. One person. And we need to do better with Cache Valley Transit and use it better. Thank you.
The next question is, what do each of you do to reduce emissions? James?
I more than 50% of the time when our family goes out, we're going by transit or we're going by foot and or by bicycle. You know what? We're in a situation where we can do that. Not everyone can do that. But where you can, will you do it? I'm trying to, if as mayor, I'm saying, hey, we all need to do this. Doggone it, I am going to do that, and I hope that you'd follow my example on that, whether it's on that, whether it's on speeding, whether it's on not kicking cats. Whatever the case is I'm the guy that wants to be the example, and that's one thing I can do for air quality and also for traffic congestion.
We keep our vehicles well-maintained, but the other thing to do is we don't drive a whole lot. I've got a 4-year-old truck, and the truck has 20,000 miles on it, so I put about 5,000 miles per year on the truck. So we're not extensive drivers. We're also walkers. I spend a lot of time on a bicycle, and so those are probably the main things, I think.
And I'm about carpooling. I know that some of you, I drive a truck, and I've always had a truck for my job, but it's my personal truck. I don't use a city vehicle. But when I'm doing city business, and usually it's 3 and 4 individuals that I need, it's a 4-door truck. As I'm moving around the city, we're not all going from where we leave City Hall, got 4 or 5 people. We head to the problem, we resolve it, and we come back. And the efficiency of the scale is that we're taking one vehicle and not 4 to accomplish what needs to be done for the city. Thank you.
All right, the last question related to traffic and air quality. Would you support plans that call for drastic changes, including incentives for driving less, like cash incentives, community redesign, or other big ideas? Let's start with Mr. Watts.
Well, there's a lot of things that have been discussed, you know, when you start talking about business, and they've talked about idling as you're going through the drive-in bank. Cars are idling to wait for Dad to go in and pick up some groceries. And those are really tough issues, because what is it and who does it impact? In the wintertime, 2 or 3 children may be in car seats in the back, you turn the vehicle off. do you through a drive-in? Yeah, it'd be nice to turn it off for a minute, but the starting of these vehicles in itself is tough on the environment. Does it improve or not improve? For those long, long waits, say you've got there's a traffic problem, turn them off. Through the drive-ins and through like McDonald's windows, that's a pretty tough thing to do, is to tell them you know, you close down your drive-in window and help the. That isn't going to happen. Business needs those. A big part of their business is that drive-through window, and there's so many businesses depend on that. So it's a tough issue, and it all comes back to sacrifice. I'd be very careful on mandating rules that are affecting business and people's livelihood. Thank you.
I hope a theme that's come through from what I've said tonight is that I don't believe that government can and should do everything. That government has a role, but it's not a comprehensive role. Although one thing I learned about air quality, I learned it just in the last 6 months. Turns out that most of the emissions from your car come in the first 5 or 10 minutes after you drive your car. And the reason is because your catalytic converter isn't functioning. It's not warmed up yet, and so it can't handle the emissions properly. And so anything that we could do, and it probably has to be in an educational nature, to help people eliminate short trips with cold engines, that can have an impact. But again, the reality is that in Cache Valley, we are overwhelmingly dominated by climate conditions on our air quality. So what we do is important, but don't expect a panacea.
You know that plaza there that has Lee's Marketplace? Now, if you guys live on the west side, don't start booing me if you don't like this idea. I think we need a plaza similar to that over on the west side, sort of like, you know, not on top of the landfill, no one's going to shop there, but over that neck of the woods, right? We have several big subdivisions there that instead of driving down to Main Street, several of their trips are going to go to that Lee's or that Fresh Market or whatever store there. You know what? That would cut down on a lot of people that are beetling from the west side down to Lee's or Smith's or something like that. Is that going to save everything? No. But you know what? I think we can take a look at some of the opportunities for development, and when the time is right, let's try to you know, have the zoning in place. Let's try to have things in place where perhaps we can have a plaza like that that serves a lot of the residents in that area. Look at how many cars that would cut down. I think there's a lot that we can do that way. As far as regulating otherwise, government, let's just stay out of it.
Okay, last tonight we're going to let our candidates offer a 3-minute closing statement and touch on anything that you feel like wasn't brought up here tonight or anything else on your platform that you want to highlight. And before we do that, I'd like to thank a few people who helped put this together tonight. Also, if you'd like to hear this presentation again, you can see it at upr.org in audio format or tomorrow on the Herald Journal's website, hjnews.com. A special thanks to John Alfred, Executive Director of the nonprofit Whittier Center, for allowing us the use of this space. Rental agreements like what we're doing here tonight help fund the Whittier Center. Charlie McCollum, Emily Wheeler, and Casey Rock of the Herald Journal. Carrie Bringhurst and Tom Williams of Utah Public Radio. UPR sound engineer Fred Weller. Logan City Recorder Teresa Harris. And our candidates and all of you for being here tonight. Thank you. With that, we'll give our candidates 3 minutes each, and we'll wrap up the night here. And as a reminder, the primary election is August 13th, and voting information is available at cachecounty.org. Let's start with Mayor Watts, and we'll end with Mr. Olson.
excuse me. Let me just start off. I hope all of you go to my website. Like you say, it isn't something I'm running all the time. We've definitely got a Logan City website, and it pretty much tells you, hopefully, everything that you need to do, and it maneuvers quite well. In the process of working through the 8 years, so that we can be accountable, the website is up to, I think, a good standard. We've done that. I recreated a new logo. At some say, how important is that or how unimportant? It's important when you're dealing with business. I created a brochure that could be handed, sent to businesses. What is the story of Logan? But, you know, the bottom line with me is, I told you before, I'm a businessman. And from the get-go, we were not in good financial situation. With the help of really good council members along the way, with the council members now, with a good administration, we've made a lot of tough choices. Dealing with individuals is not easy. And I don't find any pleasure in telling somebody I'm sorry, but thank goodness I haven't had to do that, unless they deserved it because they were not performing. 18 individuals that have now retired, moved on with their lives, and not replacing them is what gives the credibility to the city. Whether I'm mayor or not, these two running against me will have a financial base that when they talk about what it is we can do in the future, thank goodness they're not sitting like some of these cities in the country that have no base. And I've had some of my candidates running here that have said the reserves are ridiculous. They're not ridiculous. They're done intentionally to keep the city strong. 18% reserves for one reason. If we hit a disaster, it's to take care of salaries to keep the fuel going into those emergency vehicles. It's a reserve of 18% to run this city for 3 months. I have reserve in the light department. Some says you did it off the backs of we that pay the utility bills. You look at our rates compared to Rocky Mountain, they're very comparable. And I tell you one thing you have reliability in the electric department. You have friends in the county, they're 4 and 5 hours sometimes of getting power back up. We're immediate. And right now we're replacing poles because we're testing them, whether they're rotten inside, we're doing with a pole tester. People from all over the state are coming to see how we're doing it. We're tying it into GIS, we're replacing these poles so that when we have a windstorm or one of these traumatic things that hit, that we haven't got power laying all over the ground like in Kaysville. I'm going to continue to move that, and I've said before, the reason I'm running for a third term, I want to finalize what I have started with the solid waste, with the wastewater, and with the power plants up the canyon, and to finish the promise that UDOT made to us that they'll make 2500 North part of the 10th West, and it'll all be four lane. Thank you.
If you'd like to find out what my priorities are, go to my website. It's craigformayor.org. I've listed them there, and I've also written extensively about them in blogs. It's really fairly extensive. Do you know the story about the pot roast, about the woman who cut the end of the pot roast off? And she was asked why, and it was because her mother did that. And they went back to the grandmother, and they asked the grandmother why she did that. And the grandmother said, it's because my pot was too small, and the pot roast wouldn't fit. So you have two generations of people, the daughter and the mother, who had done something that was unnecessary, and they'd wedded themselves to a policy. I have a concern that Logan City does that, that Logan City is focusing on policies over people. And let me give you an example. I'm going to come back to the Park Strip, and I don't want anybody to leave here and think that I oppose the concept of the Park Strip renovation, because I think in some cases there were successes. But my problem is I think that it's an example. It's a very good example of Logan City's tendency to implement policies over people. Let me just give you a couple of examples. First of all, there are some areas where people were forced to change their lifestyles because of the Park Strip. There are other areas that weren't affected at all, so it was somewhat inequitable. But the other issue I want to talk about is just a couple of stories. I have a wonderful friend. She lives in Nibley right now, a friend of my daughter, actually. Vibrant young woman, wonderful family. She lived in this neighborhood. They bought a home that was totally a derelict, that it was boarded up and so forth. They spent 7 years in renovating that home. And then after they'd done that, gotten it to be a beautiful, beautiful home, they came along and the Park Strip program was implemented on them. And the consequence was that the nature of their home was that they had no place to park. They had a steep driveway, the road was curved. And so what they did is they left and they bought a home in Nibley. And if you go back to that home now, the one that they left here in Logan, it now has weeds, and in fact, there is a truck parked across the driveway. If you'd like to see that home, go right over here. I told that story to a business friend of mine, and he said, let me tell you about my business, that the Park Strip was implemented on 2nd East. The city brought in dirt, and right now, and I've got pictures here, there are weeds 3 feet high. So the concept is good, but the problem was that it was implemented as policy over people. We need to do better than that. We need to be more responsive to people.
You know, it's a hard thing running a city. It's far more complex than any of you guys even realize, unless any other mayors out there. Anyways, it is a complex thing. I've been in this industry in various municipalities now for over 8 years. And during that time, I've worked with each department, I've learned some of the ins and outs. There's more I have to learn. But the fact of the matter is I have this experience working with the departments. The thing that I've had the opportunity to do here in Logan is have the experience of working with people also. I think it's so important to have reserves, that rainy day or that rainy month or that rainy three-month fund. That's super important. There's good ideas as far as running a city like a business. The only hiccup is we're not a business. Okay? We need to be responsible, fiscally responsible. We got to be sustainable financially. But when it comes down to it, the city doesn't mean anything much unless we're watching out for the people. We're listening to the people. And we actually want to have the people interact. There's a lot of people that have said, I've stopped being part of the discussion because I felt like I wasn't being heard. Some of those people are crybabies who didn't get their way. Other people legitimately weren't listened to, and as a result, they had projects going around in their neighborhood that could have been done so much better. Yeah, the park strip could have been done better. Yeah, Second East, some of these other ones could have been done better. You know what? A government's going to screw up more times than not in some way or another. Except for the more that we can keep people engaged, the more that you guys are going to be informed about what's going on. The more you guys are informed, the more input you're going to give us, the more sharing you're going to give us. And that's going to be the opportunity for us to make better, more well-rounded decisions. That's what I want to bring to this city. I don't want to change Logan. I just want to bring us together the very best we can. I want to come up with solutions, and I want us to be not the business-oriented city. I don't want us to be the traffic-oriented city. I don't want us to be all these things. I want us to be known for being the people-oriented city, a city's people, a people's city, a better Logan. That's my two cents, and I really hope that you guys will take a look at anything I have on betterlogan.com, that you'll take a look at what I've been able to accomplish, the projects that I have underway, and if you like that, just wait till you see what I can do as mayor. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much to the candidates. Thank you all for being here tonight, folks. A reminder, there's a family game night here at the Whittier Center on August 5th from 5:30 to 8. For more information, pick up one of these flyers from John Alford, the executive director. Thanks for coming, folks. Good night.